All right. Well, good morning. I'm so excited to see you guys here. I know the snow is kind of crazy, but this is kind of special to me because I'm getting to tag team with my mom. And last year at this time, I got to do it with my dad. So it's just kind of really special that we got to do it. And I don't know, did you ever think we would do this together?
I never thought we would do this together, to tell you the truth. Kaylee and Brad have always pushed me a little bit, you know, to get out of my comfort zone a little. But having kids, I never thought I'd get to preach with one of them. So that's pretty special.
And I never thought I would ever preach, so, you know.
And God pushes us to do greater things than we even expect, you know, and that's what's really neat is that I didn't expect this, but yet God's greatness, he brought it to pass. And so he has so much greater things for us if we just yield to him. So it's pretty neat.
So our sermon today is Dare to Dream. And so something that's really been on my heart recently has been the topic of dreams and what are dreams and how do we know if they're a God dream and how do we make these dreams come true. And today we're going to try to kind of answer some of those questions and maybe even help spark some dreams that maybe you once had or didn't even know that you do have in you. So we're going to just pray. And so, dear Jesus, we just thank you for this time that we get to come together for you. Lord, I just pray for the words that Mom and I both speak today. And Lord, we just pray for hearts to be open. And we just thank you, Lord, for this, for your words just to pierce and penetrate our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for this and just a hedge of protection around each and every person that is here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So a few years ago, one of my best friends came over, and we were just catching up, and then all of a sudden, she started talking about dreams, her dreams that she had. And my friend Mimi, she is a dreamer. I'm talking like capital letters dreamer. And she is just talking about all of these dreams that she had. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, those are like not attainable dreams. Like why? Like, but these were the dreams she had. And she was so passionate about these dreams. And then she was also working out ways to better herself for those dreams. I've always been able to see her the ways that she was going to try to achieve those dreams. And then she started asking me, she's like, well, what are your dreams? And I was kind of like what you would call a closet dreamer. Like I had dreams, but I didn't really tell anybody my dreams. Like I didn't even tell my mom or dad, let alone like speak them out loud to anyone. And so she's just like, I just want you to start saying some dreams that you have, even if they're crazy and you think they'll never come true. So we spent the next hour just dreaming. And let me tell you what, like, if you have not just started dreaming, just started saying things that you would like to come to pass, or you think that you have these dreams in your heart, it is amazing. And I encourage you, if you haven't done it, you need to do it. Dream with your spouse, with your friend, with your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, because there's just something so powerful just about speaking those dreams. And in Psalms 20, verse 4, it says, "May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." And once you start verbalizing those dreams that you have, you need to write them down. And that kind of freaks me out a little bit because to me, once you write down a dream, I'm like, okay, well then now I'm going to have to do that dream. If I write it down, then I'm going to have to work towards that dream, and it might be scary. It might make me do things outside of my comfort zone. And I feel like it just becomes so much more real when you write down a dream. And like I said earlier, I wasn't a dreamer. I mean, I was like a normal dreamer, like practical dreamer. Like, you know, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have kids someday. But it wasn't one of those like extravagant dreamers. And when people would talk about dreams over the years, I was kind of the one in the conversation that was like thinking logically, like, really, like, how are you going to attain that goal? Like, is that really going to happen? And so I was more of like the realistic one in it. But who am I to limit God? Like, the dreams and the desires that God puts in our hearts, just because it doesn't sound practical, doesn't mean it can't be done. And so then, and maybe you've thought like me too, maybe you've thought, is there something wrong with me? Because I don't have these dreams, and everyone around me has dreams that they're going after. And I know for me, I was surrounded by people that were like, I'm going to start an orphanage, or I'm going to write this song and it's going to, you know, sing in front of everybody. Like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't have a dream. And so it was like really hard. And so then it caused me to start asking God, okay, God, what is the dream that you have for me? And so part of me, I wanted to have a pity party because I was like, oh, these people have all these amazing dreams. Why couldn't you give me a dream, God? But I just started praying and I started asking God, God, what are these dreams that you have for my life? And in Luke 11, 9 through 10, it says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives, and he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be opened.
So God has placed these dreams really inside us before we even planned and born. And he put those dreams inside of us, and he wants us to tap into those dreams to see the greatness of who he is in us. And so that's why so many people, I'm the same way. I'm not a natural born dreamer. I can remember now when I look back on my life that I guess I did have some dreams, but I didn't really do anything to pursue them. Growing up, I've always loved kids. I always babysat. And I'd see all those commercials where they had the hungry children eating rice and stuff like that. And I would just be in my heart go, I'm going to have an orphanage someday. And I'm going to let those kids know that I love them. You know, that they're going to have that discipline. They're going to have that security in their life that they don't have. And I always thought, that's what I'm going to do with my life. But I did nothing to pursue that goal. Did nothing to do that, you know, but I knew I had this love for them. And so I've got to say, I lived in a little storybook family, to tell you the truth. Our family was no by any means perfect, but it was a very loving, secure home. My mom and dad loved each other very much. I never really heard them argue in my life. My dad would get up. He'd be working two jobs. He'd get up every Saturday morning and say, okay, kids, let's get up. There's five of us. Let's scrub the floors for mom. Let's, you know, wash the windows. And we used to have to do the plants, wipe the plants leaves off every week. And I mean, they were cleaners. What can I say? But they treated each other like kings and queen. And so I saw that kind of love. My dad was very disciplined. You know, we always needed to show respect. And I had that in me, but that discipline and love together really brings security into a child's life. And that's what I thought. I really want other kids to feel that. I really want kids to know that. And so that was always placed in my heart. So the dreams that God put in me, I think, really was to work with kids, to just let kids know that they love them. But at the time, I didn't know that because dreaming wasn't something that comes natural for me. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people is that we kind of push down our dreams or we don't take any steps to get to them and stuff. And so, and we just kind of let life happen. You know, we get sidetracked, we get caught up in other things. And so for some people, dreaming, like she said, comes naturally. For others, it doesn't. So those are the people that we need to just stop and ask God. You know, we need to stop and pray and say, what do we have? And so young people, you guys, your life is so full, so busy, so go, 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 and a lot of drama put in there too. But you know what? God has placed a dream inside, a purpose that he's placed inside of you, giftings that he's wanting you to stir up. If you guys, while you're young, stop and ask God, he's the one who's going to find the way. And it takes the pressure off of you to have to perform and fulfill these dreams. When you're just seeking God and asking him to reveal this dream, well, God, then how do I even get there? How do I even do this? And we just keep asking, like she said, and seeking and knocking, but we go to the one who has the answers. And then he's going to place other people, and it takes the pressure off of us. and it puts it onto God for him to do the work, for him to plan the road for you. So definitely take that time to stop and ask.
And through that, through the asking and through praying, it's amazing to see what God will do, because he slowly puts desires in our hearts, and over time, they blossom into dreams. And I'd recently heard a sermon, and they said that dreams are the collection of our desires. So you have to start asking yourself, what is it that's grabbing your attention? Like for mom, it was working with kids. And, you know, then, and it's amazing because now she, I feel like she does have an orphanage here. She has so many of the kids that she, you know, is with, you know, and getting to be with. And so it's amazing how that was when she was younger, always had that desire to be with the kids. And now she's, you know, getting to teach them. So, yeah. And so dreamers, you have to recognize what is stirring in your heart. And dreamers, they use that faith to make it come to pass. And so God uses the desires in us to birth something. And what's crazy is it might not happen right away. It might come to pass in a different season of life. And we just sometimes question, like, well, which desire do we go after? Because sometimes we have so many desires in us of what we want to do, but they're the desires that have exclamation points by them. They're the ones that you're super passionate for, the ones that kind of make you cry. Like, you know, mom said when she was watching, you know, the commercials of the kids, you know, that there was just something in her that she just had that desire that wanted to see change in them. And so they're the desires that get you excited. And I mean, even, it's happened to me before, but you might even have the desire to read a book, and from that book, something in there will trigger you for a dream, and it kind of like pulls on your heartstrings. And it, what's crazy is just because you had the desire to read that book now caused the desire to, you know, birth a dream in you, which is pretty cool. And I know for me personally, God had slowly started putting desires in my heart for a dream. That he's given me over the course of a few years. And at first it was a desire that I did not want. I was like, no, like everyone always said, like, oh, I can see this. And I'm like, no, I don't think you're right. And so what has been so amazing is the desire that he's put in my heart, they've become my desires, and I've become passionate for them as well. And I knew that this was a God dream because it was not a dream that I ever had. And it totally has gotten me out of my comfort zone. And so, yeah, yes. But anyway, from that, God, I realized that God was preparing me. And just even little things like things that I wrote in my journal. Or sometimes in the middle of the night, I would have a random thought that I knew was from the Holy Spirit. And so, like, mom has a pen and paper by her, but I just write in the notes of my phone. She says that's kind of how the younger people do it. But so I would just write, you know, write in my phone just like something that God said, or even like a vision that I had gotten or a dream. I would just write it down. And it's been amazing to see how God was slowly preparing that desire in my heart over these years that I didn't realize it. And I think, too, for a God dream, a lot of people don't know, Mom, is that you and Dad struggled for 4 years to get pregnant. And that was always a dream of you guys, mm-hmm. is to getting pregnant. And you even had my name picked out before I was born. Mm-hmm. And so you want
to
share?
I wanted to share a little bit about that. Is okay, so we got married later in life. And so I was 26 already when we got married. So I'm thinking we need to have kids right away because I don't want to be 30 years old and having kids, because that sounded really old at the time. So we tried and tried for years, and month after month and then year after year, it was just a disappointment after disappointment. And when you face those disappointments, it's like then I had my family members praying for me, had a word from the Lord. Somebody prayed over me and said, you know, God is going to give you your heart's desire. I started finding scriptures that, you know, Psalms 37:4 is one that I hung on to, that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I started, you know, I'm a big, where I wrote little scriptures on cards and then I'd read them every day. And so started putting that word and just hanging on to that word, but the disappointment still came. The heartache still came. And I can remember going to work. I had to be there at 6 in the morning. And so I'd be on the road riding. And I just thought, you know, God, if I ever had a little girl, because Brad got to name the boys. So I thought, if I ever have a little girl, what am I going to get to name her? And Kaylee came into my head immediately. And I was like, wow, that's really pretty. I like that. And I said, I wonder what it means. And so I looked it up in the Christian book. And I couldn't find Kaylee, but I found Kay and Lee. And so K means pure one, Lee means prosperous one. So I put those together and it's pure and prosperous one. And I just thought, oh, that's going to be the name of our girl, God. Thank you. That you gave me that name, Lord, lets me know that you're going to give me a girl so that I can give her that name. And so that's another promise. I hung on to it. Something I wrote down. It's something I kept putting in my heart saying he would. Well, then after a few years, Brad said, do you know what? He'd been going on mission trips to Greece. And he'd travel, and I'd be like, I'll always be here when you get back. You know, go on your mission trip. Well, we had done a short-term 10-day one to Mexico, and I loved it because it had so many kids, and I just absolutely fell in love. So then he was like, hey, I would really like you to come with me. The missionaries there have asked if we'd come 6 months. So we're going to quit our jobs, and we're not pregnant yet. And we have insurance. If we don't have insurance, I know how tight my husband is, that we're not going to ever get to go to the doctor and find out why we can't get pregnant. And so he said, okay, we'll do testing. So we got testing. Doctors came back and said, you know what? You are not going to be able to get pregnant without medical help. And we said, okay, well, let us know what the next step is. Well, they never called us back. So I called every week. I was like, hi, this is Denise, you know, we're leaving the country in another month, so just really want to know what the next step is. They never returned my calls. I was devastated because I knew that insurance was slipping out of our hands. And then God gave Brad a word, and it said, God, while I was in prayer, he goes, told me not to worry about insurance, but have assurance that he would be with us. And so we had to hang on to that. But I gotta say, I was really disappointed. I was devastated. And so I can remember thinking, God, what are we doing? I'm quitting a job that wants to promote me right now. I love our church, have the best friends ever, have such a neat support group. Had a women's Bible study that I went to with 5 other women, and it was just like so good. And I said, and now we're not going to, you know, be able to go to the doctor, and I'm not pregnant. I really feel like you've forsaken me. And God gave me a scripture. I can remember jumping on my bed and say, I am just throwing the Bible open, God, and you better speak to me because I really feel like you've forsaken me. And I just flipped it open, and it opened up to Deuteronomy 31. And I looked at verse 6 and 8. It just stood out to me, and it said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. I saw that word forsake. Oh my gosh, you heard me. You know, it was so neat. And then it said, and the Lord is the one who goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That scripture, I just knew then that we were supposed to go to Greece. It just put the peace of God in my heart. It was that I could lay down everything and say, it's going to be okay, because not only are you going before me to prepare the place, but you said you'd never leave me. You're going to be with me. And you told me you haven't forsaken me and not to be dismayed. And so this little card, I wrote it out, and this is actually the same card. And on our way home from Colorado is where we lived. We were moving all our stuff to Iowa here to his family's. I put that up on the dashboard and I memorized it on the way home because I had to put that word in my heart. I had to put it in there because otherwise it would be just too difficult. And so then we get to Greece, and 6 weeks later, I'm like, you know, I think I might be pregnant. So we went to the doctor there and found out that I was like 8 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks pregnant or something like that. So God got all the glory. He's the one, because man told us we wouldn't be able to do it, and then God came through. So it was just such a victory. It was such a victory.
And then you got two extra little dreams out of it, too.
Oh, that was what's so neat. Brad said the next thing, he goes, hey, worked for a girl, let's try for a boy. You know what I mean? So we prayed, you know, for another year and a half, and then Ethan came along, and then I was so happy because I really thought Kaylee was going to be our only child. So then Ethan came along. It was just like, oh God, thank you. You are so good to us, you know. And then Caleb came along, and he was a total surprise. It was like the icing on the cake. It was just so awesome how God just blessed us. And the age didn't matter. It was awesome.
Yes. And so what is a God dream? And a God dream is a dream that can only be done with God's help. And there are endless ways of how God can place a dream in your heart. But for that God dream to happen, you also need a God team around you. And there are countless people in the Bible that have had a God team around them. Mm-hmm. And in Mark 2, 1 through 5, there were four men and they were carrying the paralytic. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside of the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. And in verse 5, when they saw Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So there in verse 5, Jesus saw the faith of the friends carrying him and the faith of the man that was being carried. And that man, the paralyzed man, he needed his four friends around him in order to see his dream fulfilled. And so there are going to be people in your life that are going to be there to encourage you and to help see your dream succeed. And then there's also going to be people around you that can kind of steal that dream and kind of make it die. So you have to be careful with your dream. You can't share your dream with just everyone. And sometimes it's only meant for just a select few before you even make it public. But even if you think, well, my dream is super small, I don't need anybody around me, you do. You do need that God team around you, because God doesn't call us to be alone. It says in Proverbs 27:17 that as iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpen another. And God doesn't want us to be alone, and he doesn't want us to chase our dreams alone either. And so as you're praying and asking God for these dreams and you ask him to reveal them to you, just know that he's not going to rush you. It's not going to be like, oh, he's giving you a dream today and you have to fulfill it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because he prepares you. He wants to see you succeed. And just like he told David that David was going to be the king when he was youth, but it took years before he went to the palace. And then Joseph, his dream of him telling his brothers and his father that they were all going to bow down to him. And I always think, when you think of when anybody in the Bible and you think of a dreamer, you think of Joseph. And Joseph, if you look at his pathway to his dream, it was not easy. It was a very difficult path. And I think it took 17 or plus years for him to prepare himself for that dream to come to pass. And for me, even, it took 3 years of God stirring things in me before I started working towards my dream. And something that somebody had told me was even get an index card out and write down different people's names of what they can do to help you achieve that dream. And so I had, you know, my mom, like she was going to pray for me, and, you know, well, my dad too, sorry. And so then I had this friend, she's already done this dream before, so she can help me kind of edit and do things of like what I'm supposed to do for this dream, or this person, they have this connection to this thing. And so it was it just kind of has that reminder so that when you're working towards that dream, just to kind of remind you, oh yes, I have these people around me that are going to help me achieve this dream. Because it's amazing too, with the paralyzed man, he had four friends helping him with his dream. And those four friends, they were helping him knowing that they would get nothing in return. So you know that you want those people, those God team people around you, when they know they're going to receive nothing in return. And that's why if right now you're like, I don't have a dream, I don't know what to do, start helping somebody else that has a dream. And you can be an encouragement and helping them with their dream. Because in my season of not thinking I didn't have a dream, I was serving in the church and just helping other people's dreams come to pass. And you also don't know the connections you have that you can connect somebody to help them fulfill their dream. And there's nothing more rewarding in life seeing somebody else's dream come to pass. And I know that's one of my favorite things is to see, so.
There are going to be struggles in your dream, and I can vouch for that. I mean, you know, like wanting to get pregnant and then having 4 years of, you know, every month finding out you're not pregnant is really, really discouraging. So I'll tell you, what really helped strengthen me is, yes, the prayers of others, having family and friends around and things like that, but is really getting into the Word and having something to hang on to, the promise of God. I'll tell you, the Word of God, and just like he would do other things, like how he gave Brad a word then, that extra encouragement, and how he gave me the name for Kaylee, that extra encouragement. You know what I mean? Just to keep me going, not to let go, because there are always going to be times where the devil, he comes as a thief to steal and kill. He wants to kill the desires inside of you. He wants to steal and rob what God has placed inside of you, his greatness to be birthed inside of you and come alive. And so you have to see that he is always going to try to rob that from you. And sometimes it's our greatest fears. Kaylee, her name, I always thought, is the joy of the Lord is her strength. Satan would attack her in her joy and try to rob and steal that all the time. And I would see how the devil is trying to steal that gift from her that God placed inside of her. The same with my boys. You know, when Caleb was little, he had fear. And his name means fearless and faithful. And so I knew that Satan was trying to steal that from my child. You know, so I had to start standing on the Word of God and saying, no, you can't steal and rob that from my kid. I wanted my kid to know that don't let Satan rob and steal that from you. You have to take hold of what you can battle the devil with. Because people will battle you, but the devil's going to try to steal it. And the only thing that keeps the devil at bay is the Word of God. It's not us. It's not nice words, it's not encouragement, it's the Word of God. And so we have to take hold of the Word of God. In Galatians 6:9, it says, I'm going to have to look at it, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary. We are going to grow weary, and that's why you can't keep looking to your circumstances. Every month I was weary, I was disappointed. I had to keep going back and looking at what God told me, what God tells me, what God tells me, and hang on to that and cling to that. God is just so amazing that he continues to give us. Then when I was in Greece, he gave me another scripture that was just so powerful, and it's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And it said, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men. Do you see, every book in this whole world is nice, it's good, but it's word of men. But when you get into the Bible, it says, you accepted it for not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which is also performs its work in you who believe. During our struggles and our frustration and our despair and in our depression, that is when God is saying, I want you to reach out and have faith and cling to me, because that is when your faith is going to grow. That is when you are releasing the power of my spirit to move on your behalf. And so we have to see that God's word isn't just words. There's life in it. And that's why it's so important to cling to it. That's why it's so important to have it down. That's why it's so important to put it in my heart. On the road home from Colorado, I knew I had to get this in my heart because I had to cling to it, that God had not forsaken me. God, I didn't have to be in dismay. And so I want to encourage you that in the midst of this dream that God has put inside of you and that's stirring in you, hang on to it by the word of God. Don't let Satan steal it from you.
And also, I think, too, being discouraged in the dream is your age comes into a factor. You think because you're older that God's not going to give you a dream. And something I remember, this just came to me, my Aunt Lisa always said to me, I thought she was old at the time, but she was probably only in her 30s, so I was really young. But she's like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And at that time, she had two kids. She was working full time. And I'm like thinking, what do you mean you don't know what you want to be when you grow up? You know? And so, because to me, as a kid, you're like, well, you go to school and then, you know, you're working. So you should know everything that you're supposed to do. And to me, that just means she was open to the possibilities for whatever that was going to come and at any age. And I think we have to be that way too with our dreams that God has for us. We have to be open. Just because we might be older doesn't mean we're not called, because God calls us to it, but we have to listen to him. And so I want to encourage you, doesn't matter how old you are, even if you're like, well, I, you know, for me, yeah, you don't miss it. Like for me, sometimes for my dream, I always thought, well, I'm just a small town girl from Iowa. Why would God call me? And why wouldn't he call me? So he can call each and every one of us, but we have to listen to him and we have to be willing to go after that dream. And the last scripture we have today is Ephesians 3:20, and it says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly more than all we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes of dreams or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. So don't limit God. Just see where he takes you, because you have greatness in you, and he wants to see that come alive, and he is ready to enable you, to empower you, to connect you with people, to see that dream happen. And so I know this sermon is a little bit different, talking about dreaming, especially when it's the end of the year, but I think it's perfect timing, because a lot of times we wait until the beginning of the year before we start all these new goals and everything. But why not right now? Why not now asking God, what are the dreams that you have for me that I can work at towards fulfilling? And so, yeah.
Amen. Just like everybody to bow their heads, because, you know, before we can even get God's dream and the plan that he had already placed inside of us, we have to ask God, you know, have I really surrendered my life to you? Have I really given my heart to you, Lord? And it all starts with just that, is knowing what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That he went and he came down as a man just so that we could have his life, have his greatness within us, and be restored and set free from sin. He died on that cross, taking our sin, taking our physical beating, you know, so that we could be healed mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And if you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to be the one who just really, you know, has created you and has a plan and greatness for you, and you want to surrender your life to him, just raise your hand and just say, God, I want you. I need you. I need that life. That's the starting place. And if you haven't, maybe just need to rededicate. You've given your heart to him, but you've kind of gone your own way. You know, you've turned the other direction maybe, and you haven't surrendered. If that's you, maybe just raise your hand.